Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
Let's talk about Dr. King now with the Pulitzer Prize-winning author of a landmark narrative history of the civil rights era. His trilogy, America in the King Years, took about 25 years of work, and it is really something. Taylor Branch, good to talk to you again this morning.
Nice to be back with you, Bob. Thank you.
Let's start with what Dr. King was really like. We all saw his serious side on the news, but from what I've heard and what I've read, his personal side was quite different. What was he really like? He's said to have quite a great sense of humor.
Yes, he did have a good sense of humor. A lot of it was preacher humor, teasing his fellow preachers for the sermons they preached and how tongue-tied they were. Also, a lot of it was gallows humor. Living as a black man in the segregated South, he grew up talking about the pretensions and the fears and the foibles of people having to deal with the constant threat of humiliation in the South. So he was really good at gallows humor, teasing his fellow preachers.
Let's talk about Dr. King moving into an apartment here in Chicago at 1550 South Hamlin. Why did he do that?
The big answer is that he wanted to move from Selma in 1965 to a place in the North to show that the race issue in America was not and never had been purely a sectional issue in the South, and to show that there would be violence to answer any attempt to have integration in a northern city as well as in the South. And his staff opposed that, saying we still had plenty of work to do in the South where people hadn't voted, black people hadn't voted, and they didn't know much about the North. But he said, we have an opportunity to do this, even if it forfeits some positive news coverage in the North from northern newspapers. And so he moved there, and there was a further debate as to whether he should be in South Chicago or the West Side, which was poorer and more desperate and didn't have kind of the black enclaves of middle-class churches. And he decided to go into the poorer element in West Chicago in January of 66, the coldest, freezing, typical Chicago January. And he arrived and succeeded beyond his wildest dreams in the next 6 months and showing that there was a lot of resistance to racial integration in a northern city, even like Chicago, which had been a great refuge for him in the earlier movement.
What did he want from Mayor Richard J. Daley? Mayor Daley needed black votes, but he didn't enjoy, as the mayor would say, outside agitators coming into his town. How did that go?
It didn't go very well at all because Mayor Daley, the bulk of his support rested on ethnic neighborhoods, Irish and Italian neighborhoods that supported him and that did not support any black residents coming into those neighborhoods. And what Dr. King's demonstrations showed was that any attempt to have black neighbors would draw a violent response. And some of the marches that he went on in Lawndale and other neighborhoods there drew huge mobs to throw rocks and yell obscenities at black people that we normally associate with Mississippi. And so that caused a huge problem, not only for Mayor Daley, but for President Johnson at the same time, because they were trying to put a good face on the progress they were making on race relations with the Voting Rights Act.
Let's talk about that famous photo of Dr. King. He is surrounded by his bodyguards and friends. He's slumped over. The rock was just thrown at him. That was August 5, 1966 in Marquette Park. crowds chanting white power. And Dr. King described that as worse than any moment he had had in the South, didn't he?
Yes, he did. And he more than made his point that there was racial tension throughout the United States. But he felt that he had to do it because he said the deeper meaning of what his movement was about is whether we manage political conflict by violence or by votes. Votes allow, which was his version of nonviolence, votes allow us to settle our differences by respect among equal citizens. As applied to race relations, that tended to bring out violence of people saying, we don't care about votes. We don't want these people here. We're going to throw rocks at them. The last 3 years of Dr. King's career, starting in Chicago, and then when he came out against the Vietnam War, saying the way to expand democracy around the world is not by armies, it's by, you know, witness and understanding of how hard it is to establish government by votes. That's what makes the United States distinct. So the last 3 years of his life, he was trying to teach harder lessons, which is why we don't hear as much about those. We basically have sanitized Dr. King into the I Have a Dream speech, and then gone right from there to say he got assassinated. But Chicago really began the last years of really difficult but inspiring and enlightening lessons by Dr. King on how the promise of democracy really lay before us in race relations.
After Dr. King's shift to focus on the northern cities, the Voting Rights Act was signed August 6, 1965, but Dr. King ultimately said that what was accomplished in Chicago was very little. He was very disappointed, wasn't he?
He was disappointed, but it was a step forward. They did establish goals for integrating neighborhoods and getting beyond purely 100% white neighborhoods, and got the banks and the real estate companies and the city government to endorse plans going forward. So, yes, it wasn't the Voting Rights Act. It didn't apply nationally, and it was only in one city. But it did have get the city of Chicago itself to say, look, completely all white segregated neighborhoods are not the way we want to have. We can have black neighbors, even if it was kind of a rhetorical commitment. So you're right. It wasn't much, but it was something.
Taylor Branch and those three books, the definitive biography of Dr. King, America in the King Years. And it's always good to chat with you and learn something new about Dr. King, Taylor. Appreciate the time this morning.
Thank you, Bob.